Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week where every day, every show brings us closer to the end of the charade, the 2-week dance leading up to the Super Bowl, and of course closer to crowning a champion. And I know it's always bittersweet because Super Bowl is the biggest sporting event on the planet. Any calendar year, Super Bowl is it. It is the most watched program across any genre in any country. But the United States, of course, we own this football day, Americano. So it's our game, it's our event, and it's awesome. And then it's over, which is all right. It's okay. Football doesn't actually go away, so you never have to worry about that part. I've given up on the NFL ever truly going away. It's become such a spectacle year-round. And before you know it, it'll be time for the combine. Right. And then the run up to the NFL draft and all the meetings they hold during the year or during the offseason, I should say. Free agency is not that far down the road. So never you fear, football will be part of our public consciousness as long as we're awake. If we're awake, there's football. Certainly this week. And just the way that the NFL has manufactured this primetime opening night now on Mondays, it's been a few years where media day turned into opening night. And if you see the shots, the camera shots or the photos from behind the athletes, it's a sea of people. You know what it reminded me of as I was watching it and seeing some of the clips? What Detroit looked like during the NFL draft last spring. Remember, over 3 days, there were 750,000 people who flooded that part of Detroit. I had a Syracuse student who was there on a credential. It was his first big event that he'd ever covered off campus. And he told stories about how it was nearly impossible to move, forget, try to find anything to eat or buy a water or get interviews, that it was that type of insanity, like rush hour on New York City subways pre-pandemic, where you just have to be okay with people's body parts being shoved into yours. Like that's just how it was. You were packed in like sardines. Again, those days are gone now post-pandemic, but that's how it used to be. Well, the sea of people at this opening night, this is the spectacle that takes the NFL beyond sports. I don't know if anyone asked Patrick Mahomes, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? I don't know if, was it RuPaul that showed up in the wedding gown a few years ago? That might be before Ryan. Ryan, do you even know who RuPaul is? It's okay if you don't.
I'm well aware who RuPaul is.
Okay,
I just
wanted to be sure.
I just don't remember if they wore a dress to...
All right, you know. Someone showed up in a wedding dress. Maybe it was RuPaul, because I seem to remember that person proposed to Tom Brady. Something along those lines. But, you know, I could get my Patriots Super Bowl opening nights or Super Bowl media days mixed up because he was there so many times. And now, actually, Tom Brady as a broadcaster will be in New Orleans for this Super Bowl. And I imagine that over the course of the 18-hour pregame leading up to kickoff, that we'll hear many stories from Tom Brady about what it was like to be on the field. Of course, that is what he offers as an analyst. I hope that you survived your manic Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love to connect with you online at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page. I'm trying, and I will continue to try. Ooh, no internet on this laptop. Do you guys have internet where you are? Huh. Am I missing something?
It might just be old.
Yes. I mean, everything's old in these studios. At least we're not using the desktop that comes from 1992. They did replace it and give us some laptops. Okay, now it seems as though it has recalibrated and there is internet available. As I was saying, I'd love to connect with you. I'm doing my very best, and I will do my very best this week to let you know what's coming on every edition of the show. But it's not possible, really, and it's probably not even necessary. But on Monday, now, typically when I've traveled to Radio Row or the site of the Super Bowl, I'm not there this year. I won't be in New Orleans for a myriad of reasons that you don't really care about. But I'm not there. So instead, manufacturing a Radio Row from the After Hours super secret home base. My living room. Oh, my gosh. And trying to keep the dogs at bay while I'm taping interviews during the afternoon is sort of funny, but it's whatever. It is what it is. I guess if Flower makes an appearance and you hear her barking or playing with her puffer pig, her puffer pig is so loud. It was this $3 toy that I picked up at Walmart, wondering how long it would be till she actually destroyed it. Oh no, it's been 3 weeks now and Puffer Pig is still going strong, but it is so loud. It scares me every single time she grabs it. And because it's her favorite toy, she can amuse herself with Puffer Pig. It's this big, it's rubber and it's filled with air. So it just makes an obnoxious squeaking. Well, not really squeaking, like raw sounds, kind of like that. And then she squeezes it and it makes more of those raw sounds. And so she plays with it herself. We'll hear her in another room throwing the pig around and playing with herself. And then she gets so excited, she gets the zoomies, and she runs from one end of the house to the other. So I guess if that happens while I'm talking to the likes of, I don't know, Ron Rivera, or we've got Rod Woodson later in the week, Vernon Davis, different guests that we've lined up. I guess if that happens, it'll be okay. At least it'll be authentic. For now, though, trying to keep Flower and Daisy in a different room while I'm talking to our various guests from Radio Row at my house. Ron Rivera on this edition of the show. It's great to have the longtime NFL head coach back with us. Remember, we had him earlier in the year, earlier in the football season, and he's tremendous at taking you inside the mind of a coach or on the sidelines. Now, as a player, he won a Super Bowl ring with the 1985 Chicago Bears. Remember them if you are of a certain age, Refrigerator Perry and Jim McMahon, and they were maybe the greatest defense the NFL has ever seen. Just completely trampled the Patriots in that Super Bowl. So that's the earliest Super Bowl of my memory. That's the first one that I ever watched as a kid. But I do not remember Ron Rivera. He was a second round draft pick by that team. I think he was only maybe a second or third year player with the Bears, but he did win a Super Bowl ring as a player. Then later with the Bears as a coordinator, he went back to the Super Bowl. And then as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers in 2015, I cannot believe it's been 10 years since Cam Newton won an MVP and Panthers went to the Super Bowl against Peyton Manning and the Broncos. I guess that was Super Bowl 50, right? So 9 years. But wowzers, that was the last we saw of Peyton Manning. Well, let me rephrase. That was the last we saw of Peyton Manning in a uniform, but we've certainly seen a ton of Peyton Manning since then. He's still got plenty of sticking power and staying power. So that was Ron Rivera's Carolina Panthers, a team that went 15-1 during the regular season, but then lost in the Super Bowl. Cam was the MVP. Ron was the coach of the year. So that experience is what he brings to the table. But beyond all that, Ron has been working with NFL Network and Westwood One this year. I've heard him on games. It was how I first decided that I needed to have him on the show because he was so good at analyzing in-game situations. Well, you may have seen the headlines. He interviewed for the Bears head coaching job. Obviously didn't get it. That went to Ben Johnson. Interviewed for the Jets head coaching job. I'm kind of glad he didn't get that, although I do love Ron. But he also, just this past weekend, according to reports, interviewed for a position on Liam Cohen's staff in Jacksonville. I did ask Coach Rivera about this hiring cycle and the process, but you're going to have to wait until our conversation to hear his answer. I will just tell you, though, he desperately wants to get back into coaching. So my conversation with Ron, Riverboat Ron, that's actually his handle on Twix. That's coming up at the top of next hour. And then also Lindsay Rhodes from New Orleans. And she and I have done a bunch of interviews over the last few years. She used to work for NFL Network. Now she's with Sports Illustrated and Sumer Sports. More of the analytics and some of the nerdy numbers, the data science, which she really digs, but also can be our eyes and ears on Radio Row. Now, she told me one of the things she's most looking forward to is experiencing the food in New Orleans. And I would say New Orleans is known for its food. So a conversation with Lindsay from Radio Row about midway through the show. And all of our guests will be podcasted separately. So that's producer Ryan's job. Pete has ditched us. I get maybe a text here or an email there, but mostly Ryan and I are running the show here during Super Bowl week. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We've got Roger Goodell answering questions and delivering his State of the State address, holding court, if you will. And yes, he does answer a question about the refs favoring the Kansas City Chiefs. Still no one can tell me why the Chiefs over the Bills. I think the Bills are a far better story. Yes, the Chiefs are going for a three-peat, and yes, people want Patrick Mahomes to track down or reel in Tom Brady and give him a run for greatest of all time. But if you're looking for a story that would be new and fresh and sentimentally a favorite among football fans and even you're non-diehard, so you're much more casual football fans, Buffalo is where it's at. 99.5-year-old Marv Levy, Josh Allen, four times this franchise has gone to a Super Bowl, lost 4 years in a row. Oh, and how about DeMar Hamlin? You mean to tell me DeMar Hamlin and a Super Bowl wouldn't be something the NFL would orchestrate if they were in the business of scripting? So it makes me roll my eyes, but he did answer the question. So you'll hear from Roger Goodell about any favoritism for KC. And then the Justin Tucker allegations, too. He weighs in on those, and his reaction, I would say, was more like what I got from fans initially. So I appreciate that about Roger Goodell, is that he's reacting real time. The NFL didn't have any heads up about this. The league found out the same time the rest of us did when the story initially dropped in the Banner in Baltimore. So you'll hear his reaction to that. And then we'll get you a little bit of Saquon Barkley and Nick Sirianni. Oh, AJ Brown. I don't know if he brought his book Inner Excellence with him to opening night, but I suppose there were a few questions about Inner Excellence. By the way, if you missed it, you want to watch it over again, it's being replayed on NFL Network and will be replayed ad nauseum over the next 12 hours or so. Patrick Mahomes was asked questions about Luka Doncic, and I thought that was interesting too, because his reaction on social media in the wake of the trade, that actually was, I think, indicative of what a lot of Dallas Mavericks fans were feeling. And to have Patrick Mahomes and casual Joe or June in Dallas react the same way with a tweet that said something along the lines of, wait, what? That was how Patrick reacted. Yeah, he was pretty bummed out about Doncic being gone to LA.
It's tough, you know, because I feel like I've watched Luka since he was 18 years old. I remember going to a practice and it was Dirk and Luka, and seeing his maturation and how great of a basketball player he's became has been fun to watch. And as a Dallas fan, it hurts me, but I'm happy for him that he's going to be able to go out there and be in L.A. and get to try to achieve his dream of winning a championship. But he did so much, not only for the basketball team, but for the city of Dallas. So I'll always be appreciative of those years. But I'm excited for the Mavericks moving forward and the guys that they brought in.
That's a bit of Patrick Mahomes from opening night in New Orleans. Producer Ryan, not sure if you saw this, but there's a report out there that when Luka found out he was getting traded to LA, he cried. And I don't know if it's true or not. Who knows if you could either confirm that and who cares really, but just the report that he cried and that actually he had just purchased, this could be confirmed, a $15 million home in Dallas and then got unceremoniously unloaded or uploaded, if you will, to LA. I mean, I think I'd cry too. I just bought a $15 home in Dallas and I had no idea this was coming. I might do a little bit of balling myself.
At first, I was going to say it was tears of joy, and then now I feel bad.
Why would you think that?
I don't know. Better weather, one.
Well, it depends on what you like. I mean, Dallas, to me, doesn't even have four seasons, right? So someone who came from the Northeast, Dallas has snow a couple inches maybe every few years. They have a lot of tornadoes, I'll tell you that. But if you're someone who likes four seasons, I mean, not everybody likes L.A. weather. I think it'd be boring myself, but... Okay, anyway.
They probably travel a lot.
Weather, true. They do travel a lot. Weather, what else?
Weather, make less money.
That's true. And the taxes in California versus no income tax in Texas. When he got traded to LA, he lost a boatload of money. Not just the max contract, but the taxes he will have to pay. So maybe he can maintain his residence in Texas.
Ooh,
you
yeah,
think the like California Ohtani? State government will fall for that, right? Actually, that's why so many athletes, just as a side note, so many athletes maintain residences in Florida because there's no income tax in Florida. So if they can get away with even some of their money being untaxed as an income tax, they do. It's just if you ever become a professional athlete, I highly recommend that.
Just have a house in Florida.
Have a residence. Establish your residence in Florida. And then you could have your weather, too.
Yes.
All right, cool. So I don't know how I got on that tangent. Oh, Luka Doncic said he cried, and he had just purchased a $15 million home. And so, yeah, I kind of believe this is traumatic for him as well as everybody else who's associated with the Mavericks. Still some of the reaction pouring in. Have not heard from the Lakers yet, unless I missed it. But they did not play on Monday. They probably practiced, but maybe not open, because I've not seen any reaction yet to Luka joining them or Anthony Davis getting shipped to Dallas, though he did post a message on social to Lakers fans.
Yeah, the press conference is tomorrow. So
got it. All right, we'll be on it.
Yeah.
The NBA stealing the thunder of the NFL. You think you're going to lord over Christmas? It's always been our holiday. Watch this. We're going to trade one of our top three athletes right at the beginning of your stupid super week. Take that, NFL. Pow! Right in the kisser. So 855-212-4227, that's our toll-free line. I promise you we will not have any questions or answers about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. We'll just wait and see what happens should the Chiefs win. There's no way he proposes if they lose, because that would just be wrong. Also, he's got to know better. You can't propose in the middle of a post-game celebration with confetti. That's just no.
There's some cool pictures.
It's true. And there have been athletes who've done it before, so it's not very original. But I think that should be his night and the Chiefs' night and not, hey, we got engaged, right, on the heels of us winning our third consecutive Super Bowl.
But think about how much more attention they draw to themselves. They're like, yes, we're first time to ever win three championships in a row, and I'm getting married to Taylor Swift.
It reminds me of when Aaron Rodgers won the MVP after the 2020 season, and he's accepting the award via Zoom, and he drops. It's been a great year for me. I got engaged. Remember that? He just dropped it right in the middle. Now, it didn't last, but he did, in fact, have the experience of getting engaged. Okay, so we're off and running. Also, we didn't have a chance to get to it last night, but I know a lot of people were really excited about Caitlin Clark's jersey retirement ceremony at Iowa. She dropped a bit of a bomb Also was funny because I watched the whole thing. But she dropped a bit of a bomb about how the Indiana Fever are going to play a preseason game there at Iowa. And I believe it's against Brazil. So the fans got really excited, the Brazilian national team. So kind of fun to hear from her and see her in a different capacity, even in this offseason where all reports indicate she is working her tail off. And then one superstar on the defensive side of the ball requests a trade. Another offensive superstar, so former Super Bowl MVP, is on his way out of his home or his town as well. Maybe it'll be a swap. Cooper Kupp and Luka Doncic straight up. Actually, if the Rams had waited, that might work. Not the Rams, sorry. If the Mavericks had waited, that might work. I think Cooper could be a good point guard.
Luka is like 6'7", too, so you got to measure it up for both sides.
At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, Ron Rivera, just about 40 minutes away. Thanks for joining us. Hope that you survived your Monday. Kick some serious Monday butt. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network. The reason that we spend 2 weeks leading up to it is because it's not some little bitty bowl. It's not your tiny bowl of guacamole that you'll have at your Super Bowl party. Nah, this is the biggest bowl on the planet, Super Bowl 59. And you've got one last chance, sports fans, to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 59. We know that you have to score touchdowns, preferably, in order to host the Vince Lombardi Trophy. And you have a shot to score big by betting on those touchdowns at DraftKings Sportsbook because it's your number one spot, your number one place to bet all the touchdowns. New DraftKings customers, this deal is for you, and it runs through the Super Bowl. Bet $5 and you get $200 in bonus bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use my name as your code. That's Amy, A-M-Y, for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you lay down just $5. It's only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is also available for problem gambling. 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Budo Casino and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus, but age and eligibility vary by jurisdiction. You must be present in a state where it's lawful to wager on sports. Void in Ontario, new customers only, and your bonus bets are non-cash credits. They expire 168 hours after they're issued. For all of these terms and the responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Now they go hurry up from the Browns 37. Burrow to throw. Here comes Garrett. There it is. Myles Garrett, welcome to the 100 Club. He takes down Joe Burrow. 100 career sacks for the future Hall of Famer.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Andrew Siciliano on Browns Radio and another casualty of the Cleveland deal with Deshaun Watson. I truly believe this. If the Browns could go back, if the ownership, the Haslams, could go back, if the front office, including Andrew Berry, and maybe it wasn't his choice, but if they could go back and redo that moment, they would not sign Deshaun Watson to a fully guaranteed contract worth $235 million. And I know hindsight is 20/20, but the fact is they are now about to, if they trade Myles Garrett, but even if they don't, they've cost themselves one of the best defensive players in the league. In the prime of his career, he wants out. Why? Because Cleveland can't win. Not without a quarterback. And Deshaun Watson, we don't know if he's going to see the field next year. He's getting paid, though. But we don't know if he's going to see the field because he re-tore that Achilles. He had to have a second surgery. Not that long ago, actually. I think in the last month. So here are the Browns, who sold their soul to the NFL devil, if you will. They were determined to get Deshaun Watson, regardless of what it took. Throw convention out the window, throw caution to the wind, sign this dude who hasn't played in a couple of years, not to mention the 20-plus lawsuits he had facing him from women who accused him of inappropriate behavior, so they knew a suspension was coming. Who cares what anybody else says? We're going to do this, and we're going to change the way that the league perceives the Browns, because we finally got our quarterback. Rut-row. Only the Jets have more poor decisions in their past. And now, Myles Garrett wants out. This is yet another casualty, if you will, yet another cost. The steep price that the Browns are paying for that moment when they decided this was the route they wanted to take. Two roads diverged in the wood and I. It's one of my favorite poems. It doesn't apply to football, but there were two roads staring at the Browns, and they took the Deshaun Watson guaranteed contract road because that was the only way they could get him. And now potentially are going to pay for it by losing one of the best defensive players of this generation. Myles Garrett had career sack number 100 this season. He's playing hurt most of the time, but he gives it his heart and soul. And as the reigning defensive player of the year, you can imagine in his prime, he wants to go to play for a team where he can challenge for a win. A Super Bowl win, not a win in the regular season. The guy wants to be on a contender. That makes sense. His statement reads something along these lines. There's more than one line. As a kid dreaming of the NFL, all I focused on was the ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl. And that goal fuels me today more than ever. My love for the community of Northeast Ohio and the incredible fan base of the Cleveland Browns has made this one of the toughest decisions of my life. While I've loved calling the city my home, my desire to win and compete on the biggest stages won't allow me to be complacent. With that in mind, I've requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. Don't! Thanks again, Deshaun Watson. And honestly, it's not even his fault. It was a no-brainer for him to take a contract of $235 million. This is on the Browns. A very steep price. Maybe, just maybe, one they could have anticipated with the risk of making that deal with Deshaun. Now, I don't believe the Browns are on board with this yet. We'd heard from Andrew Berry going back about a month ago that Myles Garrett was still a cornerstone in Cleveland.
My anticipation and expectation is that he'll have a direct ticket from Cleveland to Canton at the end of this year and expect him to be here and retire Brown, quite frankly.
Interesting, because in his statement, he actually mentioned that, and I don't know if it was a reference to what Andrew Berry said about Cleveland to Canton, both in Ohio, by the way, but he did write in his statement, the goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton. Again, I don't know if that's a reference to Berry or not, but it sounds eerily similar. He says it's always been to compete for and win a Super Bowl. And the Browns are no closer. In fact, I think they're further away than they were a year ago when Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year, Joe Flacco won Comeback Player of the Year, Myles Garrett won Defensive Player of the Year. What was the other award they won? They won four last year, but I don't remember what the fourth one was.
Executive, maybe?
Maybe it was. They made the postseason despite using 17 different quarterbacks. Okay, it wasn't quite that many. It's maybe 15. They lost Nick Chubb in game number 2, I believe it was, to his devastating leg injuries. And yet somehow, in what was the toughest division in football, in large part because of the defense, they made the postseason. But now, a year later, they're 3-14. And with Myles Garrett still 2 years remaining on what was a contract that set a record at the time. So he signed it in 2020, but he's out of guaranteed money. 5 years, $125 million. That was the extension. He doesn't want to play through the rest of it. He's tried to remain positive. Again, carrying a lot of weight on his shoulders, playing hurt most of the year, that we know. I can understand why he doesn't want to miss the opportunity to compete, especially when you look around at what's happening in the AFC with even teams in your own division. I know the Ravens haven't broken through, but the Bengals went to a Super Bowl. At least the Ravens have been in the AFC Championship. The Bills keep getting turned away by the Chiefs. In the NFC, you've got coaches that I think highlight, and this is not on Kevin Stefanski, but highlight the talents of their superstars, do a good job putting them in positions to succeed. There's a lot of moving and shaking going on in the NFL, and Myles Garrett, understandably, feels like he's getting left behind. He's stuck. Kind of bums me out to think about him playing his entire career there and not competing again in the playoffs. I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, because at least we've seen him in the postseason recently and it's not been quite as long. But Marco, we talk about this a lot. I can't believe we've not seen Mike Trout. I don't know why all of a sudden I had to think about his name. I could see his face. It's not baseball season. Mike Trout in the playoffs in a decade. Mm-hmm. In a decade! He's one of the best players on the planet, but we're missing opportunities. He's missing opportunities to play in October. Well, that's Myles Garrett. We should be seeing this dude on the biggest stages, like Aaron Donald, right? Like we did with Aaron Donald when the Rams won a Super Bowl. He was the best defensive player going. I know J.J. Watt didn't play in a Super Bowl, but he did at least compete in postseason games for the Texans for several years. T.J. Watt, let's hope that we get a bigger stage for him too. These are the best defensive players out there, some of them, and Garrett's getting lost.
I mean, it's kind of a long line of players that
are
get
lost. Okay?
Yes.
You sound a little stuffy.
I'm a lot better than I was. Look, a lot of players get lost in Cleveland. A lot of them. So it's unfortunately par for the course. And it's unfortunate for me because the Cleveland had turned a corner in the last few years. I mean, Kevin Stefanski's won Coach of the Year twice. They've been in the playoffs twice in the last 4 or 5 years.
And they won a game.
It seemed like it was starting to get there. And I know the Deshaun Watson trade is really what everybody points to, because that was kind of the demarcation point. I mean, Baker Mayfield got them as far as they thought he could get them, and then now we're going to take the next step because now we're going to get one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And since that point, everything has gone further south. Last year was the blip with the fact that they were able to win 11 games with Joe Flacco and everybody out, Dorian Thompson. It's difficult for Cleveland to be able to sustain if your quarterback stinks and you don't have another one and you don't know what direction you're going. So whether that's this draft or next draft, I think Myles Garrett sees the writing on the wall, the fact of this is not a 1 or 2 year thing. We might be in full rebuild mode because we don't have a quarterback.
Still,
and at that point,
still
29 years old, can you wait till you're 33 to get the rest of the team around you? So I understand it stinks when guys have contracts. It always sucks when they want out, and it stinks when teams pull the plug on you when you have a contract. It stinks both ways. But I do understand it. It's unfortunate for Cleveland, but I get it where Myles Garrett looks around and is just kind of like, I can't be here for this long haul of whatever we're doing. I thought we had it. I was here for the part of it. I can't do it again. I need to move on to something else.
Mm. The casualty of that contract, and there will be more, but they're wasting years. That deal has set them back years. As Marco points out, last year was the aberration, and it was only because Stefanski, his leadership, the number of guys who, well, the defense really, who worked their arses off to fight, scratch, and claw for every win. Incredible, actually, in light of what we now know. It makes last season even more amazing. By the way, assistant coach of the year was Jim Schwartz. Thank you. That was the other honor that they won a year ago. Now, will the Browns acquiesce? Will the Browns find him a new home? That is the question. They may not want to. That may not be their first choice. Yes, I'm being sarcastic. We'll hear a little bit from the insider standing and what's going on behind the scenes with the Browns as they consider this. Though Myles Garrett has made it public, which means he's not doing the team any favors. Maybe he felt like they weren't moving fast enough to get something done. 855-212-4227. Also another star, recent Super Bowl MVP, who will likely be on the move this offseason. And then top of the hour, Ron Rivera back on After Hours. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you were the Browns, would you trade away Myles Garrett? It's a big question. Not so sure the Browns are planning on it, or gosh, not so sure that I would be quick to move Myles Garrett either, though I understand you don't necessarily want to get into a stalemate or some type of a holdout situation with your best player, especially when he costs you a lot of money, but mostly because if he's determined to not play for you, what can you get in return for him? You need to look at that. But also, if he's determined to not play for you, you need to strike while the iron is hot. Because the longer this drags on, if it continues to drag on, the more tepid the market. Not because Myles Garrett's value has dropped, but because teams recognize that you're not sure. And so they're willing to wait it out. They're willing to say, yeah, we're going to wait until you are desperate. You can't convince him to remain in Cleveland. You've given up on that idea. Now you have to move him. And because you have to move him, you're a little more motivated. Maybe you'll take less, because you've kind of run out of options, right? So it's definitely a waiting game. Now, if there's a team who wants to jump the line, so to speak, and wants to get in before any other team does, they're desperate to deal with Cleveland and to obtain the rights to Myles Garrett, well, then maybe they'll get in an offer, what they believe will be an attractive offer, before any other teams do. I'm sure they're already fielding calls. But do they actually want to make this move in Cleveland? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Monday, Mark Garofalo from the NFL Network is giving the Browns' perspective on the reigning Defensive Player of the Year.
My understanding is, despite this statement, the Browns are sticking to their stance, and they do not intend to have any conversations or trade Garrett. I was told that this morning in light of that statement that has been released, but Garrett making it clear that he wants out. So we've got ourselves a potential standout here that could last for portions, if not all, of the offseason. We've seen teams before say they don't want to trade players and then wind up doing it. We've seen players say, I want to be traded, and then wind up either re-signing a deal or going back to the team as well. So something eventually is going to give here.
Yeah, something's got to give. I appreciate that from Mike. But right now, the Browns, at least according to Mike, have taken a hard line stance. No means no. Whose side are you on, Garrett's or the Browns? It's hard to part with a player like him because you don't know when another one's going to come along. And since not every franchise takes the same perspective as the Dallas Mavericks, where they apparently had no issues letting one of the best players in the league go on to another franchise for almost nothing, I wouldn't expect that the Browns are going to cave very easily. Also, it's kind of tough to not only admit that you made a mistake with the Deshaun Watson quarterback, but to acknowledge that it's going to cost you Myles Garrett. 855-212-4227. Browns fans, love to hear from you at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm thinking that as we head through this week, we should still be able to do Ask Amy Anything as part of our hump show. But the deeper we get into the week, they all feel like hump shows only because the way Radio Row is set up, you have to be available in the afternoons. And by you, I mean me. And so I was awake, I think it was 1:30 Eastern time, so 12:30 New Orleans time, for our first conversation with Ron Rivera, which you'll hear after the top of the hour. And then we have three conversations scheduled for Tuesday afternoon. Right now, a few more scheduled for later in the week, though generally later in the week fills up a little more. I was saying to my mom, I'm feeling pretty good on Monday night as I was getting ready, packing up my coffee and my snacks and getting out of the house. I'm feeling pretty good because Sunday wasn't your typical football Sunday. There were no games. Pro Bowl doesn't count. And I got a good nap on Sunday evening. So it powered me through Monday. But as the week goes on and it's 4 hours of sleep at a shot, it becomes much more challenging to navigate, and not just that, much more challenging to complete a sentence coherently. So I suppose you can just nod and smile as the delirium sets in as we head through Super Bowl week. It is one of the extra challenges of working overnight. You may have heard on Monday evening that Cooper Kupp is on the market as well. This is kind of interesting because Cooper didn't request a trade necessarily, but the Rams are looking to find a new home for him. He's been informed, his camp has been informed by the Rams that the team will be seeking a trade, quote, immediately. And actually, he outed the Rams by putting that on social media. Be careful what you text to people because they can always put you on social media blast. Kupp said in his statement, I don't agree with the decision and always believed it was going to begin and end in LA. So the opposite situation of what we've got in Cleveland, where one of your brightest stars, one of the league's best defensive players, wants out so he can compete for a Super Bowl ring, and the team doesn't want to move him. But in LA, the Rams have decided they will move their recent Super Bowl MVP and Triple Crown winner, though he does not want to play anywhere else. Remember, there were some questions about whether or not he even wanted to continue playing in 2025. And he said there was no doubt in his mind that he would play another season at least. He signed a 3-year contract extension going back to that 2021 campaign in which he was the best receiver on the planet. The Rams can save a bunch of money if they cut him. But his guaranteed salary next year is only $5 million. I mean, they've got to have money for that, right? Ron Rivera's next on CBS. Oops, nope.